Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tanla Industries Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during this conference, please signal for an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephones. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Afzal Malkani, Managing Director of Tanla Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and very warm welcome to our Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call. Along with me, we have Mr. Gupta, CEO, and Mr. N. R. Ravichandran, CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisor. Since this is our maiden earnings call with the investor community, I would like to begin with a brief introduction of the company and share the transformation journey that Tanla has undergone over the last few years. Tanla Industries is a joint venture between Anupam Rasayana and Tamil Nadu Industrial Development Corporation, TIDCO. We are one of India's well-established fluorochemical manufacturers with more than four decades of expertise in handling hydrofluoric acid and fluorine chemistries. Our integrated manufacturing facility is located at Cuddalore, Tamil Nadu, which is about 200 km south of Chennai and 30 km from Pondicherry. The facility, spread across around 60 acres, currently has a total installed production capacity of approximately 135,000 metric tons per annum. Over the years, Tanla has built a well-integrated fluorochemical manufacturing platform with strong backward integration, resulting in improved efficiency, reliability, and competitive cost advantages. Today, we are amongst the leading domestic manufacturers of hydrofluoric acid, and importantly, we are also the first and only manufacturer of solar-grade DHF in India, positioning us strongly in high-growth sectors such as the solar photovoltaics and semiconductors. One of our biggest strengths is our proven execution capability. Over the last few years, we have consistently demonstrated our ability to execute projects with an aggressive timeline and at highly competitive capital costs. Our recent HF expansion is a strong example of this capability, where the project was commissioned successfully within the planned timeline and at a significantly competitive cost compared to industry benchmarks. Another important strength of Tanla is the strong support from our promoters. While Anupam brings deep technical expertise, global customer access, and specialty chemistry capabilities, TIDCO brings institutional strength and stability backed by a long-standing association with the company. Tanla has a long operating history post-acquisition by Anupam in March 2022. The last four years have been particularly transformative for the company. This partnership has provided significant strategic advantages, including strengthened management capabilities, improved product synergies, market reach, enhanced technical expertise, and stronger operational execution. This collaboration has enabled us to introduce new fluorine-based products, strengthen our downstream chemistry capabilities, improve operational efficiencies, and accelerate our growth trajectory. Since then, our journey has evolved from a phase of stabilization and operational improvement to one focused on capacity expansion, forward integrations, and value-added product development. This transformation is clearly reflected in both our operational and financial performance. Our revenue from operation has grown nearly five times from around rupees 148 crores in FY 2021 to rupees 711 crores in FY 2026, reflecting a strong CAGR of around 37% over the last five years. We also achieved our highest ever production volumes and capacity utilization levels in a year. Over the past three years, we have undertaken several strategic growth initiatives to strengthen our position in the fluorochemicals value chain. In October 2024, we successfully doubled our hydrofluoric acid capacity from 15,000 metric tons per annum to approximately 30,000 metric tons per annum with a total investment of around 100 crores, which is the lowest per ton investment in the industry. The project was commissioned within the planned timeline and was a vertical startup, reflecting our strong project execution capabilities. In addition, FY 2026 marked another important milestone with the successful commissioning of both phases of our solar grid DHF project, with a total capacity of 20,000 metric tons per annum. As I mentioned earlier, we are the first and the sole solar grid DHF manufacturer in the country, and this positions us strongly in high-purity fluorinated applications linked to the photovoltaic and semiconductor industries. Further, for this business, we have already secured orders worth approximately 1,068 crore expected to be executed over the next three and a half years. This agreement provides strong visibility for future growth and reinforces customer confidence in our capabilities and product quality. We have also invested substantially in debottlenecking existing capacities, improving plant safety and reliability, strengthening environmental systems, and modernizing our R&D centers towards world-class standards. Our R&D efforts are increasingly focused on next-generation fluorinated products, specialty fluoropolymers, battery chemical applications, electronic-grade chemicals, and other advanced fluorine chemistries, which we believe will become important growth drivers over the coming years. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Gupta, who will take you through the performance of the company in FY 2026 and also the expansion plan of the company. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Malkani. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. For the year Q4 and FY 2026, the company has delivered strong performance across both revenue and profitability. I am pleased to share that we achieved our highest-ever quarterly and full-year revenue from the operations of rupees 193 crore and rupees 711 crore, respectively. During the year, we secured three consecutive long-term supply arrangements for fluorinated products with leading global customers. These include contracts aggregating to approximately 3,612 crore rupees over a period of five to seven years, along with an additional agreement with Blue Star for an indefinite duration. These milestones reinforce our position as a trusted and reliable partner for global customers. Let me now discuss our next phase of expansion within the fluorine value chain, particularly our entry into refrigerant gases, which we believe will be a key long-term growth driver for the company. The global refrigerant industry is currently undergoing a major structural transformation driven by environmental regulations, increasing cooling demand, and a transition toward lower GWP refrigerants. In this evolving landscape, HFC-32 has emerged as one of the most important next-generation refrigerants for residential and light commercial air conditioning applications. The global HFC-32 market is estimated at around 380 KT in 2025 and is expected to grow to nearly 485 KT by year 2030, reflecting a healthy CAGR of approximately 5%. This growth is being supported by a combination of strong regulatory tailwinds and rising global cooling demand. From an India perspective, the opportunity remains extremely compelling. India's HFC-32 demand is currently estimated at around 22-23 KT and is expected to nearly double to 45-50 KT over the next four to five years. This growth is primarily driven by the strong expansion of the domestic room air conditioner market, which is expected to grow at approximately 16-17% CAGR. As a part of this strategy, we have already announced a capital expenditure plan of approximately rupees 495 crore. This includes 405 crore towards HFC-32 and approximately rupees 90 crore towards other value-added fluorinated products. This 495 crore will be used towards setting up a 20,000 metric tons per annum downstream fluorinated products manufacturing facility at our existing Cuddalore site. The project is progressing well and remains on track for the commissioning by Q3 in the year FY 2027. What gives us even greater confidence is that a substantial portion of this upcoming capacity is already supported by long-term customer contracts. Collectively, these contracts account for nearly 65% of the proposed capacity, providing strong demand visibility even before the commissioning of the plant. We believe our competitive advantage in this segment comes from multiple structural strengths, including assured in-house availability of hydrofluoric acid, strong backward integration, long-term customer relationships, operational expertise in fluorine chemistry, integrated infrastructure, and proven project execution capabilities. Beyond the currently announced expansions, we continue to actively build a broader pipeline of high-margin fluorine-based products and technologies. Looking ahead, our strategy includes further strengthening our solar-grade DHF position through an additional plant capacity of 20,000 metric tons per annum. We also aim to further strengthen our backward integration capabilities through the expansion of HF and sulfuric acid capacities to support our HFC-32 production. In addition, we are actively focusing on electronic-grade chemicals, battery material applications, high-performance fluoropolymers, specialty fluorochemicals, inorganic fluorides, and other advanced fluorinated chemistries to cater to emerging high-growth and high-profitable sectors. At the same time, we continue to strengthen our sourcing ecosystem and supply chain resilience for critical raw materials such as fluorspar, sulfur, potassium carbonate through diversification of suppliers across multiple geographies. We believe this approach will help us ensure long-term supply security and support scalability of our downstream fluorochemicals operations. Going forward, our focus remains on expanding our high-performance fluorochemicals portfolio, strengthening backward integration capabilities, and enhancing our R&D efforts, executing our plant CapEx initiatives, improving operational efficiencies and reliability. We believe these strategic initiatives will further strengthen TANFAC's market position and support sustainable long-term growth in revenue and profitability. Despite the evolving geopolitical environment, particularly in the Western Asian region, we remain confident about the overall business outlook, supported by our strong order visibility across key product segments, ramp-up in solar-grade DHF revenues, long-term supply arrangements with global customers, and downstream expansion projects currently under implementation. Before I conclude, I would now like to hand over the call to our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ravi, who will take you through the operational and financial performance of the company for Q4 and FY 2026 in greater detail. Following that, we'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through financial performance and key operational development that took place during Q4 and FY 2026. I'm pleased to share that our company has achieved highest ever quarterly and full year revenue from operations of rupees 193 crores and 711 crores respectively, driven by improved realization and volume growth. Our revenue from operations had grown up by 27% year-on-year from 57 crores in FY 2025 to 711 crores in FY 2026. Quarter-on-quarter, our revenue from operations had grown up by 11% from 173 crores in Q3 to 193 crores in Q4 of FY 2026. Our operating EBITDA had decreased by 17 crores year-on-year from 129 crores in FY 2025 to 112 crores in FY 2026. In percentage terms, our operating EBITDA is 16% of the revenue when compared to 23% in FY 2025. FY 2025 was an exceptional year in terms of margins and realizations. Despite normalization in margins during FY 2026, we continued to maintain healthy profitability levels while simultaneously investing for future growth. Going forward, we expect operating EBITDA margins to remain range-bound around 15%-18% from existing line of business. Our profit after tax decreased by 18 crores from 8 crores in FY 2025 to 70 crores in FY 2026. In percentage terms, our PAT is 10% of the revenue when compared to 16% in FY 2025. PAT remains subdued due to lower operating profit and higher depreciation arising from recent CapEx. Operationally, our plant continued to perform well during the year. The sulfuric acid plant operated at 101% capacity utilization, while the hydrochloric plant operated at around 95% utilization levels, reflecting strong demand and efficient operations. In the specialty fluorine segments, utilization stood at around 41%, and we expect utilization levels in this segment to improve progressively as demand for value-added products scale up over the coming quarters. I would like to highlight that we improved our working capital cycle by 8 days to 91 days in FY 2026, reflecting our continued emphasis on operational efficiency and disciplined working capital management. Our balance sheet and return ratios continue to remain healthy, with return on equity at 19% and return on capital employed at 20%. Overall, the company delivered record revenues, maintained healthy return ratios, improved operational efficiencies, and significantly strengthened its long-term growth pipeline. With long-term customer contracts already in place, ramp-up of solar-grade DHF revenues and commissioning of new downstream capacities over the next few quarters, we remain confident about the medium to long-term growth outlook of the company. With this, we would now like to open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on the touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. In order to address questions from all the participants, please restrict your questions to only two questions per participant. You may then return to the question queue for follow-ups. Participants, we will wait for a moment while the queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Shah from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So the first question is, what was the segment-wise capacity utilization for FY26 and where do we see the growth coming from in next 2 to 3 years?
As mentioned in my speech, see, our sulfuric acid plant has the capacity utilization of our sulfuric acid plant is 101% and HF plant is 95%. And going forward, we will be able to fully utilize the capacity with the strong demand and growth.
And in addition to that, what Mr. Ravi has mentioned, that the growth will come from the other inorganic fluoride chemicals as well as downstream HFC-32 also.
Okay, so thank you. And the final question from my side is that what is the status of quota for R32 and for which we are doing CAPEX?
The quota has will be decided in 2027 and it rests with the government. So, but the, it will be decided in 27, but we have got a clean EC to manufacture this. So we are going ahead. And if you want the details on quota, I think I can give it to you. You want details?
Yes, sir.
See, the whole quota is arising out of an international agreement among various countries. And this is the quota which will be decided at the national level as indicated by the government in its latest office memorandum of 1st April 2026, which will be that memorandum. So India's HFC quota, which we estimate will be in the range of 115 to 125 KT per annum kind of thing. And approximately this quota will be available with the government of India, out of which the existing installed capacity is around 50,000 tons. And as per the office memorandum of 1st April 2026, the government of India has decided, they have informed that they will be proportionately issuing the quota in calendar year of 2027 based on the production capacity. This is very clearly written in that office memorandum. Quota will be applicable from January 2028 onwards, and the next calendar year 2027 would be for 3 years for production and supply of HFC-32. We have also received the environment clearance and consent to establish the plant, you all know this. Also, if you see the latest office memorandum of 1st April 2026 as issued by the Government of India in the last month, it speaks about the same thing. So as per the memorandum, in which the clause number 3 is clearly mentioning an implementation of an appropriate framework permitting HFC production after taking into account the production capacity of the operational units as on 1-1-2028, as per the HFC's phase-down schedule of the Montreal Protocol. This is, I am quoting from the office memorandum, this line. So in the clause, you know, it is a self-explanatory clause and you can understand the meaning of easily, you know, the production capacity of the operational units. We would not like to comment any more on this. Also, the clause number 6, you know, part 2 says that any additional HFC production capacity already granted EC for controlled applications shall not be allowed to commence production beyond 31st December 2027 in line with the freeze obligations under the Kigali Agreement. We believe that the government is encouraging new players and manufacturers to ensure that the domestic market is served with the products domestically produced, Atmanirbhar Bharat, in the spirit of Make in India, and which can be, you know, also you can extrapolate, you know, the Chinese. If you see in 2003, their AC penetration was very less, about 6.5%, which is now almost 65% air conditioning penetration in China. And India today stands at about 8% air conditioning penetration. So you can see the growth which is expected to come in the air conditioning sector, for which all the refrigerant gases will be an important and critical you know, part of it. So the demand is going to grow almost to 4-5 folds, 6 folds. And India also has to decide where the gas will come from. They don't want to depend on the other countries, as other countries also have a limited production. So we have to make ourselves Atmanirbhar and Make in India kind of initiatives. So we are working towards that, and that is why this HFC 32 plant we have planning to commission by Q3 of 27.
Okay, sir. This is very clear. Thank you for this, and that's it all from my side.
Thank you, Harsh. Thanks for this.
The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 361 Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, and good to know that you're doing the sizable capex. So again, a little bit delving on the R32 capacity. So you've talked about the quotas, you've talked about approximately HFC quota of about 110,000-120,000. Given that the incumbents are trying to reach that particular mark, how are we confident that our capacity will also be given certain quota? And at what percentage level of operations will we be breaking even if we say that our capacities will be available till, say, 2037? And just two allied questions to this. In terms of both fluorspar and sulfur sourcing, how are we placed given that we need to backward integrate the entire facility? And also you mentioned that 65% customer commitments. Are these from the domestic markets or from the exports market? And does it signify that 65% of 20,000 capacity means 13,000 capacity is already being, you know, probably taken by the customers in terms of some commitment? Thank you.
Okay. So three questions that you have asked. The first is about the quota that the internal people are going to do towards that. The second is about the fluorspar and the sulfur sourcing for the new project, right? How we are integrated. And the third is the contracts which we have, right? These are the three questions. Am I right? So the first question I've already explained when Harsh asked. I've detailed the office memorandum I have quoted. You know, the office memorandum clearly states this. And implementation of, I'm quoting, right, clause number three, implementation of an appropriate framework permitting HFC production after taking into account the production capacity of the operational units as on 1-1-2028 as per the HFC's phase down schedule of the Montreal Protocol. Correct? So, I don't want to harp more on this. It is more of it is self-explanatory. You guys can understand this. I think you all have access to this office memorandum. It is a public document of 1st April 2026. So, please go through it. And I don't want to detail, and I like to leave it to the government, right? So that is the answer to the question number one. Number two, we are tied up for fluorspar for an, and we generally have annual contracts for fluorspar. So fluorspar availability is not an issue. Fluorspar, if you see, calculate the world's fluorspar mines and the availability, it is available for next 90 to 100 years. So that is not an issue. Sulfur, due to West Asian crisis, it has been the price is going up, but the availability is there. So we are getting sulfur, but the prices have gone up. So, but we are tied up for it, and for donkey's numbers of years, we have been sourcing fluorspar for our production of sulfuric acid plants. So, sulfur is not an issue. And the third thing will be, we'll be putting up a new, we have plans to put up a new 30,000 tons of AHF for this R32, upcoming R32, because HF applications are also, right, we are also working on few other downstream products. Our current HF customers are also there, which we don't want to starve and lose that market. And then 32 demand is also there for HF will be required for captive use for HFC 32. So that will also be there. So we have plans to secure that whole thing. So that answers your second question. The third is, out of this 20,000 tons, 13,500 tons we have tied up with contracts. So broad level, if you ask me, about 70%, 75% is exports. 75 to 80% is exports. 15 to 20% will be domestic.
Got that, sir. Right,
clear?
Thanks for answering.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Sir, second question, in terms of the revenue.
You have already asked 3 questions.
Sure, I'll come back in the queue. No worries.
No, please ask. I was just joking. You must.
Yeah. Sir, how much revenues did we get from our parent Anupam in FY26? And how does the pricing for the same work? Is it a
I'll ask Mr. Malkani to answer this.
Right. Yeah, it is in FY25-26, it was around 9 crore rupees.
Which is 1.2%.
It is the 1.2% of the total revenue, and it is at the arm's length price only.
Sure. Just a light question to that, I was coming to is, in terms of our future products or segments, would there be any overlap between our parent and us, or would there be clear distinction that there will be certain segments where we only will be operating and there will be certain segments?
It is very clear. We have made complete distinction on the product list, on the fluorine downstream and other things. So there is a complete distinction what they will do and what we will do. So there is no overlap, nothing.
Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot. I will come back in the queue. All the best.
Thank you. Thanks, Natarajan, for your question. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, you may enter star and one on your handsets. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadkar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So the first question is on the AHF. We mentioned that we will be setting up another 30,000 tons of AHF capacity. So that is included in the 495 crore capex. So that will be over and above this?
No, Siddharth, that is not included. In fact, we are going to announce it in next few months, that 30,000 tons of capacity. Because first time this company is doing such a big project, capex of 495 crores. So we want to streamline that first. And meanwhile, once we see that inside, then we'll announce in 2-3 months, we'll announce. That's our plan.
So secondly, can you just comment on the domestic HF demand supply, given that even our peers have commissioned large capacities? How do we see the merchant market, and what is the merchant demand of HF today, and how do we see that growing ahead?
See, the merchant demand is divided into 3 segments. One is the steel and the glass segment, which goes for surface treatment. The other is for specialty products, which goes into fluorination and agrochemicals and other sectors. The third is the solar grade segment. So if you combine all of these, the total market as of today, in terms of AHF, I can't tell you, because there are various concentrations of HF which goes into this. So about 24-25 KT is the demand for about 15 KT in AHF terms will be demand for AHF for solar grade, about 15 to 18 KT for surface treatment, and similarly about 10 KT maybe for the other specialty products which for agro, pharma and other applications. So broad level, if you see, the total will be around 40 KT of AHF demand in the Indian market as of now, out of which solar is growing at a tremendous pace, steel is growing at a 5-6% growth, and the pharma and agro are again at 6-7% growth. But the solar is growing at a tremendous, it is going to 8 times in next 5 years. That is the plan, 6 to 8 times. Yeah. Because today the solar capacity is about 36 gigawatt, and which is expected to go to around 200 gigawatts, 216 gigawatts. That's the plan in next 5 years for the solar players. So you can see the demand going up almost 7-8 times.
Yeah. In terms of realization, what is the difference between solar grade and the normal AHF? And in margin,
solar grade gives us about 15 to 20 rupees per kg extra realization than the normal merchant grade, industrial grade of HF.
Okay. Answer the cost.
Cost about 3 to 4 rupees or 5 rupees maximum would be the cost for making from industrial grade to solar grade. So our the margins improve by around 10 to 15 rupees per kg in case of solar grade.
Okay. On chloromethanes, how are we looking at sourcing chloromethanes? Will it be from our neighbor Chemplast, or we are looking at alternative sources also?
Chemplast, I don't know how much capacity, there is a production in India at the level of almost 425 or 430,000 tons of methylene dichloride, MDC, in chloromethanes. And the demand today stands at about 310,000 to 320,000 metric tons. So that leaves about 100,000 tons of oversupply in the domestic market from the production. Plus imports are also available from China, Europe, both the places. So I don't think there will be any challenge in methylene dichloride.
Just one last question on
I'm sorry, R32. Turn to the question queue, sir, Mr. Gatka.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Akash Dabara from Investec Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, why did the gross margins decline in FY26 versus FY25?
In FY25, we had a very good Q3, unusual Q3, where the realizations were also high and cost was also less. So we had a very good Q3, where we have reported around 30 crores profit in Q3 itself.
Okay.
So we had a very good Q3, that is the reason. But in, apart from that, the prices of sulfur has increased in FY26. It used to be around 30 per kg in FY25, it increased up to 38 to 40 kg average consumption rate, I am saying. And which has also further increased during this quarter.
Okay.
So that is the reason EBITDA level margin, gross margin, and EBITDA margin has come down.
Yeah. So these are the main reasons. And in addition to that, if I want to add in that, then in Q4, there was also this MTM loss of around 2.5 to 3 crores due to the depreciation of rupees against the USD on 31st March 26.
Okay.
And in addition to that, during 25-26, we lost the production of around 70 crores of HF due to unplanned maintenance and bottleneck due to distillation column in our old HF1 plant. But now this plant is operational at 100% capacity, so we'll get more production compared to last year's. And additionally, the depreciation was also higher by rupees 7 crores due to setting up of the solar grade plant during the 25-26. So these are the 4 to 5 reasons which led to reducing the profitability compared to FY24, 2024-25.
Got it. And so given the impact of Middle East war on the raw material prices, could you provide an update on extent of increase in the raw material prices? Additionally, how much margin compression are we factoring in due to this, and to what extent are these cost increases being passed on to the customer?
See, margin remains probably in the same range. The margin remains probably in the same range. We have been able to pass the cost increases to customers, not at one time, but in phased manner. So ultimately, you know, with the lag, there's a lag in increasing the prices, there's a lag in decreasing the prices, so ultimately it remains the same. So margin probably we are expecting to remain same percentage margin this year also. But with the last quarter of getting 32 revenue, I think the margins may increase by 3-4%.
Okay, got it. And one last question. What is the solar grade DHF growth outlook over next 3 to 5 years? And why only Tanfac is the manufacturer in India? Like no other player is coming in this segment? Just want to understand the market outlook on this.
First question was, what is the growth outlook for next 5 years? So I explained as an earlier participant, he asked this question. So today the capacities are 35-36 gigawatts, which are expected to go to 216 gigawatts in next 5 years, which gives us a multiple of 7 times. So today the market stands at around 24 to 25 KT in DHF terms, which is going to go up to almost 150 KT in next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a multiple of almost 6.5-7 times, which is expected. Now, so second question is, why only Tanfac is doing this? See, the, merchant grade, the industrial grade, there are a lot of impurities. Now, this solar is used to etch the solar wafers, right, to generate electron collection in the chip to maximize the efficiency. to maximize efficiency. So the, if there are minimal metal impurities, then the efficiencies will be better. So now the requirement by the solar photovoltaic these companies are below all impurities below 10 ppb parts per billion. So which is not easy to achieve. There's a technology involved. There are a lot of you know, closed rooms and other things are involved. So it is as good as a US FDA plant, something like cGMP procedure. And there is a capex involved. You know, 50 to 70 crore rupees you have to invest to get this technology done, right? So there are a whole lot of, and there's a learning experience involved. So we have been trying this for last 2 years, and finally we were able to achieve this last year only, in last calendar year. And that's how we have been able to achieve the quality of 10 ppb for all less than 10 ppb impurities. And that is why today TANFAC is the only manufacturer who is doing this. Yeah.
Got it, got it. Thank you for the opportunity. I will join back the queue.
Thank you.
Participants with questions may enter star and one on the handsets. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. So first question, on the R32, what could be the probable cost of production, including the operating expenses?
Difficult, but I'll give you just an approximate figure. It will be between 240 to say 280 range per kg.
Right, got that. And second question in terms of capex. So we have indicated about 500 crores of capex, which will be for FY27. What is the plan beyond this? And given that we have those 3,000 plus crores of long-term contracts, how are we likely to go ahead with capex? Will there be any material debt which we need to get, or probably some kind of a QIP that we are looking at?
See, this project we are going ahead, R32, and we have some bigger projects lined up, and the you know, the products are ready in our labs, and we have to just send it to customers for approval sake. So we have a long-term plan of going into high-performance fluoropolymers, high performance fluorochemicals also, there are inorganic chlorides also. There are so many products, battery chemicals also, electronic chemicals also. So these are the core segments where we are going ahead in future. So there are products which we are working on. So depending on the, you know, our internal accruals and our financial, you know, placement at that time, we will see how much debt we have to take, or we go for another fundraise or something. So I can't comment today on that for the future.
Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Haraya from Interglobe Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is around the solar grade DHF. We won orders approximately 1,050 crores and we have a capacity of 20,000 metric tons per annum at present. So do these orders book out our complete capacity for the next 3 years, or how, or do we have additional capacity available for the time being?
These are till FY29, next 3.5 years, and it moves out of 20,000 capacity, it moves around 85% of capacity of the year, every year.
Okay, thank you. And in the presentation, it was mentioned that we plan to set up additional 20,000 metric tons of solar grade DHF. So when do you think the plant will go live?
Before that, we need to go for the HF plant. That we may announce after 2-3 months, and we may just, for example, we can start after 4 months. So simultaneously we will go for the solar grid also. So within 11 to 12 months, the HF and new solar grid plant will come together. So we can consider June 27.
Understood. And you mentioned earlier, basically for the R32 capacity, we've already sold out about approximately 70% of our capacity. I couldn't get the number earlier.
Yeah, 65% we have booked today. And there are some people, we are trying to block another 15 to 20% more. So most likely another 80-85% will be completely sold off before the plant comes online.
Understood. And could you just give me a brief color? But like you mentioned, basically the price increase and decrease is passed on in a gradual manner. And currently also the price, raw material prices are continuously increasing. So at present, what percentage of the cost through are we able to pass on to the consumer, let's say compared to 6 months ago? because the sulfur and fluor spar prices have been increasing for the last 6 to 9 months. So compared to that, what stage have we reached in pass-through of prices?
Definitely, we are, as though there is a significant increase in fluor spar and not fluor spar, sulfur and fluor spar logistics cost. We have been able to pass on, but definitely there is a lag of around 30 to 40 days. So that's only we are running on that. Otherwise, we are able to pass on 100% cost increase to our customers.
It comes with a lag. So increasing also has a lag and decreasing also has a lag. So ultimately, it balances out.
Yeah, this is a 30 to 45 day, right? I wanted to know.
Because it's in phase manner, suddenly you cannot increase at one time because you are contracted with customers and all these things.
Correct. And this will be applicable for all the R32 orders also that we have signed that will start from January next year?
Yeah, those are formula-based contracts. So, absolutely no issue.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Rajiv. All from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Gada. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much, sir, for my questions. I wanted to check, what would be the payback period and the potential returns from the proposed HFC project?
Payback period on the proposed HFC project, we expect it will be less than 4 years. Given the current scenario and current high demand for the product and good realization, we expect payback will be less than 4 years.
Okay, and for the planned capex, how are you planning to raise funds over here in this case?
So for that, particularly for this total capex, 405 crore rupees is for the R32. So we are planning to raise around 400 crores, out of which 100 crore rupees will be from the promoters as a, by way of the preferential allotment, and remaining 300 crore rupees by way of QIP and term debt.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Siddharth Gadkar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just one question on the HFC quotas. So with in our discussions, could you make us understand that the quotas will be driven by gas-wise quotas, or will it be on a HFC which is converted to a GWP basis quota?
See, US has gone on the GWP based quotas, CO2 based, and China is on product based quota. So looking at our parallels drawing more with China, government should go with the Chinese concept, but I'm not sure. It lies with the government. I can't comment more on that. It lies with the government, yeah.
So secondly, on our R32 contract, you just mentioned that these are formula-based. What would be the profit margin that we have assumed in these formulas for the contracts?
Difficult to comment on this. This confidential as of now.
Yeah.
There's a decent, significantly good margins. I just want to say that. Significantly good margins. I can't give a number.
Okay. Thank you.
So payback is coming less than 4 years, as our CFO has indicated. So you can understand the margins, kind of thing.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions at this time, you may enter star followed by one. Our next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you, team, for the opportunity. My question is, on the R32 contract that we have signed, so they are actually contingent on securing the production quota and not securing the EC, right? So the question is whether these agreements are actually legally valid as of now. And I wanted to check, I'll just complete my question. So just wanted to check, what is the penalty exposure if the supplies can't be delivered? So if, say Tanpac misses the contracted supply timelines due to quota non-allocation or for any other reason, what are the damages or the penalty obligations across these agreements? And, have these been quantified and disclosed as as a contingent liability there?
See, these contracts are done in good intentions, with good intentions, so there is no penalty clause due to this or anything. The only once we start the production, and then the penalty clauses start, if we are not able to supply from my production or they are not able to buy, vice versa also is true. Right? That if they are also not able to buy the contracted quantity, they will also be get penalized. So it is a vice versa and equivalent mutual contract.
No, just to clarify, I mean, whether these have penal contracts on both sides, that is, if you're not able to supply, whether you will be penalized, and if you can quantify.
You ask two things. We are not able to supply because of quota. So that penalty is not there in the clause. Number two, once we come into production, so then there is a penalty clause if I am not able to supply. Suppose I have a contract of say 5,000 tons and I am able to supply only 4,000 tons. Then for 1,000 tons, I will pay. But suppose he doesn't buy 5,000 tons, he buys only 4,000 tons, then they will also pay to us for 1,000 tons. It's mutual.
Perfect.
Both
so,
sides.
So which means that the quota, the quota contingency has been, considered in the, in the agreements or the LOIs that you have signed.
Yes. There's no penalty.
There's no quota and there's no obligation. There's no liability.
Correct. No obligation. No obligation.
Right? So if there's no quota, right? So, okay. Secondly, on the quota order that you've quoted, that also clearly mentions that, the limits on production are as per what is described or what is prescribed under the ODS rules and the Kigali Amendment, right? So even if players have the capacity, the countrywide limits will not be exceeded. Now, if we see the incumbents, SRF, GFL, Naveen, they have, both HCFC baselines from 2009-10 and an active production running through the 2024-26 window, which are the two key requirements for securing the quotas as per the Montreal Protocol. Now, their announced HFC capacities, if we aggregate, whatever the incumbents have announced, that suggests that the, that the country's total permissible production quota under the Kigali will be largely, if not fully, consumed by these incumbents alone. So with no HCFC baseline and with no HFC production in 2024-26 observation period, the quotas that we are talking about, we would need more clarification on how do we feel that, will be allotted quotas. Is it purely on the basis of the ECs that we have secured, or there is any other indications from the government that we have to go ahead with this project?
See, you are asking questions, the same question is appearing again and again, this is the third time answering it. So it is the clause number 3, it is self-explanatory, which says that the implementation of an appropriate framework permitting HFC production after taking into account the production capacity of the operational units as on 1/1/2028 as per the HFC's phase down schedule of the Montreal Protocol. Now, if you want to ask the exact numbers and all these things, I think government is the right party to ask all these questions. We are not in a position to comment on any of these, right? So that's what my final say is. I'll not comment more on this.
No, sir, my question, I well understood your point, but my question is just, to check because...
I would not like to comment on that. Whoever is expanding... Whoever is doing, what other people are doing, I cannot comment on that, please.
But you feel that, this order sufficiently says that only production capacity is important, or is it within the framework of the Kigali rules, which also say that there is a country...
We are going ahead with our plan. We are going ahead with our plan of 20,000 metric tons, and we are halfway through it, and our capacity will be commissioned probably in October end or November, early November. Q3 of FY27. So that's, we are confident of it. 27 is a free year. We'll come to know about the freeze in 1/1/2028. And we are very confident with the government that, as per the order, they will behave as what the order says.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Gupta from SBI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is on the broader perspective. At 495 crore rupees capex, what kind of revenue we see over the next 2-3 years on that?
So this out of 495 crores, for this R32 is around 405 crores, and this gives us a revenue of around 900 to 1000 crores revenue every year.
Okay, and looking at your further expansion plan in other related products, what is the company's vision in next 4-5 years in terms of the growth, if you can just share on that?
Yeah, definitely. So if you see, with the one execution of the solar grid, there are 3 to 4 growth drivers for that. With the proven execution of solar grid DHF, as our CEO has mentioned, we are planning to go for the setting up of the new HF and solar grid facility, and we are also poised to pour into electronic grid DHF for application in semiconductors. We are also planning to enter into future sustainable refrigerant gases like HFOs and high performance fluoropolymers. So the above will lead us to participate in various new age applications and achieve a diverse portfolio. And for that, our R&D is continuously getting strengthened, leading to development of high-end and high-margin products. Yes, but definitely we will go for the expansion after this R32 project is over. But to answer your question, yes, next 3 to 5 years, we will invest another 500 to 700 crores. But currently, we will go one by one project only.
Yeah.
As you see, even your past 3 years history also, we go by one by one project only. First, this hydrochloric acid, after the 100% capacity utilization of HF plant, we went for the solar grid. Same way, we are going for the R32, and once this capacity utilization, maximum capacity utilization is there, after that only we'll go. But yes, pipeline is there for all this product which I mentioned, product segments. I hope this answers, Mr.
Yeah. Thanks. So basically, the 700 crore rupees for the current year and 900 crore incremental, which means that the peak will reach 1600 crore rupees plus kind of revenue in next 2-3 years.
Yeah, FY28, I think we should be close to around 2000 crores, 1600 to 2000 crores, because a new HF plant would also be operational at that time. But we have a big pipeline of products. So our aim is to get to almost 3,000 to 3,500 crores in next 5 years.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants with questions may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. No question, just one suggestion. The way our parent gives out a table of LOIs and contracts, if we can also provide the same, it will make the future projections relatively better from an analyst perspective. So just a suggestion about whatever contracts that we have, and in terms of the life of it and whether those are already commissioned or likely to get commissioned. It would be really helpful
We are bound by some confidentiality agreements, due to which we cannot disclose the names of the customers till a certain time. So that is why we have not disclosed names of some of the customers. The customers where we were not bound, we have already announced their names. And sure, we can provide a table kind of thing in future. That's not an issue.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, you may enter star and one now. As there are no further questions from participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Afzal Malkani for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today and for your continued interest in TANFAC. With our strong order visibility, ongoing CapEx initiatives, long-term customer relationship, backward integration strength, and focus on operational excellence, we remain confident about our long-term growth journey. Thank you once again for your participation and continued support. We look forward to engaging with all of you regularly going forward. We hope we have been able to answer all or most of your questions. For any follow-up queries, please feel free to reach out to our IR partner, SGA. Have a great time, Arif. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Tanpack Industries Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.